I'm Robert.
Hi, I'm Karen.
And this is what we really thought of Horrible Bosses.
Oh, Friends with Benefits.
And Captain America.
Captain America.
The first Avenger.
Captain America.
Well, Horrible Bosses stars Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis as three people who want to kill their horrible bosses.
They are three people.
And, you know, it's a comedy. It's not drama, which, you know, could go either way with that sort of premise.
It's true.
And, I don't know. I thought it was entertaining. It wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. It was still funny. I don't know. I guess with the town involved, I was expecting a little bit more. And, yeah, it was okay. It's a rental for me. It's not something you'd go to the theater for unless you're, like, really desperate for a good comedy, because I don't think there are any others out right now that are just, like, straight comedies.
No. No, there's not.
I mean, aside from Smurfs.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
$110 million to make that out. No, what else would be but comedy?
Pain.
Well, tragic. It's tragic.
It's a tragedy. I guess I was expecting a little bit more, I don't know, kind of scripted feel comedy. This is a lot more of that kind of, it feels almost like on the spot type comedy where they just keep one bit and just keep it going and going and going. And sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't, sometimes it felt really forced.
It almost felt like sort of an extended sitcom pilot.
Yeah.
Like a setup, like, these are three characters, they won't kill their bosses. And then, you know, the end, it's resolved, and then they still have horrible bosses, but they're not trying to kill them like week to week.
Yeah.
It's just the pilot, they try and kill them, and then after that, they sort of live with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually did kind of feel like that, so yeah.
I mean, it didn't really feel like a movie, I guess, is one of the things. As again, sort of bit, you know, sketch.
Yep. So not terrible by any means, but it wasn't quite as funny as I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, it is well cast. I mean, Jason Bateman is great. It's nice to see him in something good since Arrested Development. Charlie Day, I like him.
Yep.
Sudeikis, he's on Saturday Night Live, which I don't watch very often these days, but, you know, he's decent. Jennifer Aniston, attractive, in a role that is sort of trades off of that. I mean, you know what a role is from the previous.
Yes.
So. Kevin Spacey and Jamie Foxx are probably the surprise standouts for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, even Colin Farrell. I mean, he's great because, it's complete. I don't think I've seen him do comedy besides Scrubs. One episode of Scrubs.
Yeah, no, he was great. And I definitely enjoyed Jamie Foxx's character the couple of times he shows up.
Yeah.
That was quite enjoyable, so. Enjoyable bits, but overall, it wasn't quite what we were expecting.
I would definitely watch that HBO series, though.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, HBO, pay up $10 million to get those guys for, like, a 10-season episode. 10-episode season, yeah.
10-season episode.
10-season episode. One episode just really, really
long. For 10 seasons.
When does it end? It doesn't end. It just has commercial breaks for months at a time.
Oh, okay. My.
All right. Friends with Benefits. Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis are two single people. Timberlake is an art designer. Gets hired by Mila Kunis as a... Mila Kunis is a headhunter, corporate headhunter, and she hires him for GQ, and he moves to New York, and they're friends, or they become friends, and then they become
friends with benefits. Name drop.
Yeah. Title.
Yep.
What did you think?
I liked it. Since we saw them in the same day, I actually enjoyed it a bit more than Horrible Bosses. But, again, it was kind of one of those hit-or-miss things with me. Where sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, as far as the comedy goes. Because it does feel like towards the end of the movie, they stop necessarily trying to make it a romantic comedy and start trying to get a little bit more serious with it, and that might have been what didn't quite work with me. I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to remember now.
I think I liked it more than Horrible Bosses as well, but that may be because I came in with lower expectations. I liked Timberlake and Mila Kunis. I thought they were great. They have very good chemistry together. Probably my biggest problem with the movie is it just feels padded out. It's a little bit over 2 hours. Some of the characters in there have no impact at all. I mean, Woody Harrelson could be completely cut from the movie and there'd be no difference. There are some detours with Timberlake's family that, you know, provide character development, but it sort of feels like it's out of a different movie.
I think that's when they try to get more into the serious bits, because there's a little side plot with his dad.
He has Richard Jenkins' disease.
Yes.
Richard Jenkins has Richard Jenkins' disease.
Yeah, and so they try to get a little bit more serious on that one, so it does kind of, I guess the movie feels like it kind of compartmentalizes a bit. You know, near the beginning, it's a lot more fun and energetic and tries to be more of a, you know, romantic comedy. And then near the end, it tries to do the serious turn and it doesn't quite work. At least it didn't quite work for me. Like, I just kind of wanted them to go back. I wanted them to pick something and stick with it, I guess. Cause I think that's what led to more of the padding than anything, because, you know, the family and the, you know, the Woody Harrelson bits, which he's funny in the movie, but he's just completely unnecessary to the overall plot of the movie. So
it's like they brought him in for a cameo and they liked him and they kept writing more scenes for him almost. Yeah.
He only has maybe one small scene where he affects the plot at all, and I think that's when they get in the boat and he needs to
thrown that away with all that dialogue. We got a really good cabbie.
Yeah, exactly.
But they spent $5 million getting that helicopter shot of the people in the boat, so they couldn't cut it.
Yes, exactly. I think it was enjoyable. It was certainly I'm not a romantic comedy guy, but it was definitely one of the ones I enjoyed more than, say, you know, others.
Better than Date Night.
It feels like they actually tried something with it, in the sense that they really tried to, I don't know, you kept talking about it kind of feeling like
adaptation.
An adaptation of,
It has some elements of the movie Adaptation by Charlie Kaufman, where they set up these tropes of the romantic comedy, you know, mocking them and acknowledging them, and then in the third act of the movie, all of those tropes come to pass. It's very intentional, and I'm not sure whether I like that or not. I mean, it worked in Adaptation. I'm not sure if it worked here, because, I don't know, it seemed a little bit more blatant.
I don't know. I guess there were some elements of it where it felt like they were really trying to ground it and not make it specifically a really tropey romantic comedy, but it's still in the romantic comedy genre, so you're not going to get away from it. But so I guess what I was trying to say is, I guess I appreciate that they actually feel like they tried something with it, but it didn't necessarily work. So, you know, I can only give them so many points for trying, you know. But the two leads worked really well together, and I enjoyed them, so.
Yeah. So probably another good rental or a date night movie, I guess.
Yes.
Worth a look.
Yep.
So Captain America, based on the Marvel comic series of the same name. It's about Steve Rogers, a scrawny kid from Brooklyn who wants to join the army, and he gets inducted into this secret super soldier program, and he becomes super strong, super fast, regenerates, and he's Captain America, throwing his mighty shield.
So, was the movie America-tastic?
No, it's all in Europe, man.
You're right. For a movie called Captain America, very little of this movie takes place in actual America.
No. The first act is in America. The rest is not.
Yeah. All right, well, here's something we have to address. Is it better than its predecessor?
Predecessors?
Predecessors.
Yes, this is the best Captain America movie so far. This is the best of the four.
You're right, Jesus.
Yeah, because they have the two Red Brown Captain Americas and one in the 90s where Captain America is a coward.
Yep.
Which, by the way, the director put out a director's cut last month and they screened it in Austin.
Oh, gosh.
At the Alamo Draft House, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Apparently people liked it.
That's
there were a lot of fans for the 90s cowardly Captain America.
Cool.
I remember watching that as a kid a lot. I mean, I don't remember anything of it except Captain America getting tied to a rocket by Red Skull and getting shot into, like, Alaska. And that's all I can remember. And I kept having my parents rent it all the time. So maybe that's why I liked this Captain America so much, because yeah, it's all those Captain America memories coming up.
Yeah.
And it's so much better. I would say this is my favorite superhero movie of the year so far. It's probably my favorite Marvel movie so far. I mean, out of all of the Marvel movies, not just Marvel Studios, but say the ones done like Spider-Man, X-Men, Blade. This is my favorite Marvel comics movie so far. It's fun. It's dramatic. You know, there are some problems I had with the framing device where it starts and ends in the present day with them finding him in ice. And there are some bits there, again, with the end framing device that sort of ruined the flow of the movie.
But when you stop and think about it, those elements are really just there to tie it in to the overall story that they're trying to get to the Avengers. And you could, you know, if this wasn't a lead up to the Avengers movie, you could almost chop those off and just have the movie in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have preferred they just put all of that after the credits. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would annoy people with, like, a 10-minute post-credits. Well, maybe 5 minutes, because the opening is only like a minute and a half, and then they had the ending bit, which is like another 3 minutes. So yeah, it's about five minutes. So then people would actually say it's worth staying after the credits.
It's true for a 5-minute tag.
Instead of a 40-second Avengers tease that is totally not worth it.
And it is the last one, so I mean, you know, leading up to the Avengers, as far as I know, right? This is the last one.
Yeah, this is like, Avengers is May next year, I think.
So, I mean, that could have kind of worked, right? Yeah. a five minute tag to tie everything in.
Yeah.
That was another thing that annoyed, that part of the, get to the movie here in a second, part of the tag that bugged me was the fact that they spent all that time on the tag. Not on the tag, but on the ending of the movie. I keep trying to say the tag at the end. But at the very end of the movie, weird framing devices, they spend all that time basically just trying to get Captain America to where he can be a part of the Avengers movie, and they didn't even try with Thor, when they could have easily just made a couple of minute changes and had him on Earth for the Avengers movie. Yeah. No, but they do try with Captain America.
We're going to have a 10-minute detour to Asgard explaining how, I built a new rainbow bridge. I found these plans in the basement.
Yeah, basically. Or, hey, the rainbow bridge magically regenerated itself. We're not going to ask questions. We're just going to go. Yeah. Or he's just going to be there, and they're going to explain it away with, like, one line.
Hey, I'm a god.
Hey, I'm a god.
Boom.
That's what I do.
I thought it was well cast. I thought this is probably the best music out of any of the Marvel Studios films thus far. I mean, it's catchy, especially that, like, song that they do from Alan Menken, Captain America song that he does, which is just great.
Yeah.
My only problem, I guess, again, aside from the framing device, is Red Skull is good in it, but he's not quite good enough. I mean, he's a threat, but he's not really threatening. He's just sort of there, and you're just sort of assuming he's a bad guy, he's got a red skull, he's a Nazi, he's evil. That's it. We don't have to do anything else. So we don't have to see him doing
Nazis.
Anything really evil. He's just he's just there.
Yeah. Before we start another flame war, and by flame war I mean one guy commenting, is it the actor wasn't good enough or the character wasn't good enough?
I think the writing wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
For that character.
Because we had that with Loki. We started a flame war over Loki.
No, I mean, I love that makeup.
And that's really a shame, too, because he looks good.
I love Hugo Weaving. He is great.
He looks good. He does well.
I mean, anyone who does a Werner Herzog accent and says, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was doing Werner Herzog for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really the unfortunate part about him not having enough to do, is that he's not around enough to... Captain America does so much in the movie that the Red Skull almost becomes a side plot to it. It's like, oh yeah, that guy that I have to fist fight on a plane. Although, they do have what is my favorite, like, villain meets hero moment of any of these movies now. It's amazing.
It is very epic in nature.
Yeah, they even have the walkway parting between them. Physically
it's
parting.
Ridiculous that there's no practical reason for
no
except for to have this great shot.
Yep. Oh, but I think to the movie's credit, considering Captain America's story. Is kind of one of the, well, one, it's one of the ones I'm a little less familiar with, but it's also one of those ones that, like, the outfit and the shield and stuff always felt a little harder to justify than, like, say, you know, when you got Thor with the magic hammer, he's a god, and he comes from an entire world with, like, magic and stuff like that. You don't really have to justify that armor and that hammer, you know what I mean? But, like, Captain America, he's in a suit that is basically the American flag, and he throws a shield. There's a certain kind of almost really quality to that idea, at least there was in my head, that it was kind of hard to justify that. But they do a really good job of completely justifying the outfit, the weaponry he chooses, and just the character in general. I mean, he's just, he's just a really good character and a really good guy.
Yeah.
You know, you just like Captain America.
Yeah, he's like Superman, but better.
Yeah.
I mean, not better in terms of strength, but I think he's a better character than Superman because he's human and he does have a couple of flaws like me. He's too patriotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what was brought up to me was that he's also one of those few characters, too, that really doesn't have a arc, so to speak. He's really the same guy from the beginning of the movie that he is at, like, the end of the movie. You know what I mean? He's that same good guy through the whole thing. But that's completely okay. Because, you know, that's kind of the point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I think one testament to the fact that we like this one more than the rest of the Marvel ones that have led up to. He's, like, my favorite character of the bunch. He's not, like, a flawed guy, you know, like, trying to get his life back together, like, you know, like Tony Stark, you know. He's not the all-powerful god. He's just a really good guy that, you know, is just trying to do, he's really patriotic, he's trying to do good by his country and by him, you know what I mean? You know, he's just a good, you know, he's just a, you know, a good guy. So, I mean, I think that's why he kind of stands out above the rest. He's also the most self-sacrificing of the bunch. You know? I mean, when you think about it, at the end of the movie, he's the one who has sacrificed more than pretty much any of the other characters that have led up to this point. You know what I mean?
Red Skull sacrificed a lot of nameless soldiers.
That's true. But yeah, I suppose trying to pull this back to a wrap-up, we had a lot to say about this one, but I really good movie. Definitely my favorite of the Marvel lead up to the Avengers. Probably my favorite of the Marvel superhero movies that have come out. Of course, I'd have to go back and watch a bunch of them to figure that out for sure. But yeah, this is one that I really thoroughly enjoyed, and I wouldn't mind going back even like right now and going to see it again. So
let's do it.
All right. Right in the middle. Okay. We'll just leave the camera running.
Yeah. I'm Robert. He's Jared. Yep. That's what we really thought. Let's go see Cap.
Let's go see Cap.
Throw his mighty shield.